As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
What follows may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The world is full of stories. Stories of mysteries. Of curiosities. Of oddities. Join Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
I like starting the podcast occasionally with weird things that I hear Kat say.
Yeah.
Last night, I was working on the laptop and I just hear Kat go, "I am so proud of Vanilla Ice." He's done so well for himself after a difficult time.
He was 16 when Ice Ice Baby hit.
I didn't realize he was that young.
16. He was a little tiny baby person. And yep. Everyone just expected him to be cool and handle everything, you know, because he's ice. But, you know, gosh, what would you expect? I would freak out. If I was Vanilla Ice
at 16, and all of a sudden you're in the Ninja Turtle movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So
anyway, I just really appreciate Vanilla Ice and how he's kind of recreated himself, and he's got his, you know, he's figured out who he is as an adult, as not Vanilla Ice. And I really appreciate that.
Well, I love the fact that he credits the Insane Clown Posse as being there for him during a difficult time.
Yeah, I love that because you can, you know, I'm not an ICP person by any means, but I love the idea that it's a community of people that,
it's a family,
that he,
I hear,
vibed with. Yeah. And that's all it takes,
it's
is just
cool.
Feeling like you're a part of something. And yeah. I don't know. I love it.
Anyway, let's get to the podcast, shall we?
Speaking of not the podcast, but things that we're communities of, yeah. I have just made a terrible mistake this morning and downloaded TikTok.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll ever leave the couch again.
Probably not.
I held off.
But I think you've got a great idea, though. A Willy and Banjo TikTok channel. So be looking for that. We'll let you know. All right. Is it podcast time?
Sure, I guess.
You go first.
All right. So, Old Orchard Beach, Maine. It is a lovely place at which you will find Palace Playland, which is a seasonal amusement park. And it is Maine's oldest amusement park.
How old is it?
Well, one site said it's operated in the same site since 1902.
Wow.
Another said it was built in 1910. And another said it was built in 1942. So I'm guessing there were some starts and stops, and that's why there's a discrepancy in when it was officially built. It was partially destroyed by fire in 1948, and that started on the old mill ride and spread to the wooden roller coaster at the site. Other surrounding rides and buildings were damaged, as well as a few summer cottages, game stands, bathhouses. It was a huge loss, and it was rebuilt after that fire in 1948. And then there was another fire in the 1970s, and it was rebuilt again. You cannot keep Palace Playland in Old Orchard Beach down.
Apparently not.
I'm just saying. But as far as Maine goes, that is our oldest amusement park. So I got to thinking, well, if that's Maine's oldest amusement park. What are some other old amusement parks? By the way, Riverside Amusement Park was in Hamden, Maine.
Yeah.
But that only ran for about 16 years. And that's where you did some metal detecting.
Yeah, it's a completely overgrown, wooded, well, I was going to say lot. I guess technically it is, but it's huge. It's like, I don't know, like 40 acres or something. And it's nobody could tell me for sure where it was. Mm. So I actually went to the library and got old maps and tax maps and real estate documents and found out where it was. And it's behind a retirement home now. And I went down with my metal detector, and that's where I found a box of dildos.
That's right. It's interesting because they brought people in on the river, right?
Yeah.
And also there was a trolley that brought people out to the amusement park.
It was built by the trolley company.
It was a huge draw, and there's nothing left of it except for, I think, like a lamppost in the middle of the woods, which is kind of weird.
I did find some old electric lights on trees and things in the lot. And then there's also, I found what I think is the remnants of the alligator pool. They had alligators
there.
Oh,
that's right. Okay. So anyway, that obviously would have been started sooner than Palace Playland, but it only lasted for about 16 years.
World War One. After World War One, it went out of business. But at its height, it would attract as many as 17 to 20,000 people. And this was a time when Bangor, Maine, which was where it was on the outskirts of, the population was maybe 12,000.
Right. It's kind of nuts.
It's crazy.
Anyway, so those are some old amusement parks in Maine. But what's the oldest amusement park in the United States? Well, it's not too far from us. It's Lake Compounds, and that's located in Bristol and Southington. How do you say that?
Southington?
Southington. That's located in Bristol, Connecticut. It spans 332 acres, which includes a beach and a water park, which is called Crocodile Cove. So we had alligators, they had crocodiles. But I don't think they really had crocodiles. Anyway, the lake's name is derived from Chief John Compound, who was a Mattituck Native American. And in the 1600s, his tribe signed a deed that left Compound's Lake to a group of white settlers, including John Norton, who had just migrated to central Connecticut from Massachusetts. So there was a trade for a certain amount of money and a few miscellaneous items, including a large brass tea kettle. Now, there's a local myth that says that Chief Compound ended up drowning while trying to cross the lake in that brass tea kettle. I don't know how that would have
tiny little man
happened. Mm. But anyway, so it's October 6th. 1846, and Samuel Botsford is a Bristol scientist, and he persuaded the owner at the time of the property, Gad Norton, to let him conduct a series of experiments in electricity. Of course, this is a very exciting time for electricity, and it was well publicized that they were going to be holding this event at this space. So a few thousand spectators came to the demonstration. It was a gorgeous spot. They all happened to note that they're seeing this really cool thing, but it's also like on this lake, and there's the woods nearby, and blowing up two huge jugs of gunpowder tied under a raft in the middle of the lake was really neat.
I'd go see that. I would go see that.
The experiment itself was kind of a failure, but it did inspire Mr. Norton to take action. He decided that he would set up a path around the lake and create a draw. So there were picnic tables, and he invited public swimming and rowing on the lake. He built a gazebo for outside band shows and officially opened it to the public as a picnic park. Barbecue became a big summer tradition there at the picnic park, and in 1848, a hand-powered revolving swing and Connecticut's first 10-pin bowling alley were added to the park.
I wonder if that was a common thing with early amusement parks, bowling alleys. I know that at Riverside Park, the one we were just talking about, that was one of the draws. Bowling alley and those newfangled motion pictures. The well, moving pictures.
It makes perfect sense. This comes from the Lake Compound's website. The casino was the first permanent building on the property, and that was built in 1895 with a restaurant downstairs and a ballroom upstairs. Ooh. A full course dinner was available, and that would cost you 50 cents. Public transportation began that year as the Bristol and Plainville Tramway Company, and later trolley started bringing people to the picnic park. 1911 was a big year, as that was the year they purchased a carousel for $10,000.
Holy shit!
And opened it to the public.
What was the year again?
1911.
1911. Okay, I'm going to get my inflation.
Oh, you're going to look that up? Good.
Yeah. $10,000 in 1911, according to Morgan Stanley, is worth just under $300,000.
Wow.
In today's money.
So that was a huge investment. But apparently they were doing pretty well, because 3 years later, they brought in the Green Dragon, the first electric-powered roller coaster, and that was open to the public.
Wow.
That roller coaster was eventually replaced by the Wildcat, which was a wooden classic built in 1927 by the Philadelphia Toboggan Company. Hmm. The Wildcat is still in operation.
Oh, that is fabulous and terrifying.
And it's no wonder. It is the 14th oldest wooden roller coaster in the world, according to Wikipedia.
I remember as a kid, I used to visit relatives in Massachusetts, and they used to go to Lincoln Park, which was an amusement park in Dartmouth, I think. And their old wooden roller coaster was called the Cyclone. And I remember riding it a couple of times when I was a kid in the 70s. And not long ago, I thought, I wonder if that's still operating. Well, no, Lincoln Park closed shortly after the last time I was there because the roller coaster jackknifed off the tracks. And for years after the show, after it was abandoned, that roller coaster car was still hanging from the track.
Oh, my goodness.
There are pictures online, because I'm a freak and love old abandoned amusement parks.
Moving right along to the oldest amusement park in the world. So we started in Maine, we moved to the States, and now we're going to the world. Deer Hovesbachen, which translates to the Deer Pastures Hill, which I love, is commonly referred to as Bakken. And that is located in Klampenborg, which is north of Copenhagen in Denmark. It opened in Prepare Your Shit.
My shit is officially and properly stowed for takeoff, Captain.
1583.
Shut up.
I will not.
What kind of amusements did they have in 1583? Oh, here's some food without sewage in it.
I mean, that's exciting.
That's amusing.
It's exciting shit. So the origins of the Deer Hovesbachen can be traced back to 1583, when Kirsten Peel discovered a natural spring in what is now known as Deer Hoven. Residents of Copenhagen were attracted to the spring water due to the poor water quality in central Copenhagen. I mean, so you're not wrong.
Hmm.
Poor water quality in the city. So they went out to the spring.
Okay.
I mean, legit. Many believe that the natural spring to have curative properties. And therefore, the discovery drew large crowds, especially in the springtime. Those large crowds attracted entertainers and hawkers. So there were vendors eventually. And that is the origin of that amusement park. Now it has over 150 attractions, including a roller coaster, a wooden roller coaster that was built in 1932. So there was a period of time where the park couldn't be used because I guess the land was used for royal hunting or something. But then it was reopened, available to the public once again, and it began to flourish. So everyone was like, oh, yeah, that's the spring that we go to because it's not filled with feces. Mm. We're into it. So then there were clowns, and it became a very popular place.
See. You add clowns in, and then in my mind, my choice is having to deal with clowns or getting dysentery. And it's kind of a toss-up for me.
So over the years, of course, the attractions changed and grew, but now it is a full-on amusement park. As I said, 150 attractions and lots of foods and beverages not contaminated with feces.
That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, I think we should go.
Well, obviously. That's incredible. So it's been, except for a brief period when they closed it for royal hunting.
That's right.
It's been a continually operating amusement-like park.
Well, it is seasonal. It's open from March to August.
Well, it's in Denmark.
Right. So,
of course, everything's seasonal.
That's like, it's like ours, you know. Sure. Old Orchard Beach is not open all year.
No.
Well, I mean that the town is, but sort of.
Yeah, but not really, but sort of.
But we get it, Denmark.
Yeah, we're on the same page with you.
But I would like to go, and I think that it should be part of an amusement park tour that we do. Maybe we could do like live shows.
I would love that.
In old bowling alleys.
We're not far from that now, actually. Appearing live at an old bowling alley.
It sounded cooler in my head.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
Anyway, that's old amusement parks.
That's fascinating.
I'm sorry, let me edit that. Those are the oldest amusement parks.
Now I want to get my metal detector back out and head on down to Hamden, Maine again and try to find some more stuff at Riverside, what was Riverside Park, that are not used adult toys.
While you're there, can you scootle on over to Pizza Gourmet and get us one of those Big Mac pizzas?
Yeah, sure. Happy to do that.
And now, that thing in the middle. Thomas Hughes was a British soldier during World War I. In 1914, he was on a transport ship in the English Channel on the way to France. While on the ship, he took a few moments to write a letter to his wife. He then put it in a bottle, corked the top, and tossed it into the English Channel. Just days later, Thomas died in battle. Well, the bottle bobbed about in the English Channel, and 85 years later, the bottle was found in the River Thames. After some detective work, the letter was finally delivered to his 86-year-old daughter.
The Box of Oddities with Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth.
I've got to tell you, the longer we've had our Aura frame, the more I love it. I have kids, and they live about 3,000 miles away, and my daughter is expecting a child, and she has been sending me updates on her baby bump through the Aura frame. And since I can't be there to experience it with her, it's the next best thing. And speaking of mothers, if you're looking for the perfect gift to celebrate your mom in your life, Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames. It allows you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and super easy to share photos with the Aura app. And here's the thing, if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. We love Aura frames, and living so far away from family, thanks to Aura, it's the next best thing. It's like almost being there. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Box of Oddities freaks can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code oddities at checkout to save. That's AuraFrames.com and use code oddities at checkout and you will save. Thanks, Aura Frames, for bringing my family a little bit closer. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. You know, as your kids get older, there are some things about parenting that gets easier. I remember once hearing my sister tell my little niece, "If you put your pants on, I'll give you some Fresca."
And when kids can start to reason that they get something if they do something right, it's a lot easier to manage them.
Having that conversation about money with your kids, that's not the easiest thing in the world. Fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help.
Greenlight is a debit card and money app made just for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on the kids' spending and savings, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills.
Your kids will learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to the games that teach kids skills in a fun, accessible way.
When I was a kid, I had expected chores, and then I had bonus chores. And bonus chores were where I earned money. And so if you're thinking like, hey, my kids should be doing stuff around the house, yeah, no, you're not wrong. But maybe there's extra ways that they can learn how to be a successful financial money person.
What was one of the bonus chores that you had to do?
Rub my mom's feet.
And what did that pay?
I don't know, like a quarter or something.
Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate their life together.
Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/oddities. That's greenlight.com/oddities to try Greenlight for free.
Greenlight.com/oddities.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Box of Oddities. I said box.
Eric sent us a message. He said, I have another case of the Box of Oddities effect. This has been happening more and more where weird coincidences take place surrounding topics that we have done or just the podcast in general. Eric says, it's weird that you chose this particular true crime story. I'm guessing this was the episode before last where you did the DNA testing one. I just picked the episode of some true crime show on ID that discusses the same case and watched it yesterday.
Whoa.
I only picked that particular show because I was scrolling through and saw this happened in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and I live about 30 minutes from there. I love true crime and everything y'all do. Ya amazing freaks. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate that. And see, not everybody hates your true crime stories.
That is reassuring. Thank you.
You know how when you're lying in bed at night and you're trying to drift off and your mind keeps saying, no, you need to think about all these weird things?
Yes. Well, remember that goofy thing that you said that time in third grade and everyone looked at you weird? Consider that for the next 45 minutes.
And then it just leads to another thing and another thing and it goes down this rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me the other night. And I ended up thinking about a funeral that I went to when I was much younger. It was a great uncle, and he was a big Red Sox fan. And so somebody actually came to the funeral with the Red Sox logo painted on their face and shirtless, like they were super fan kind of, you know, in honor of his love for the Red Sox.
Sure.
And I thought that's amusing. It was amusing at the time, but pretty inappropriate.
I mean, you could have just worn a suit with a little Boston pin. That would have been appropriate.
A lot more tasteful. So these are inappropriate things that people have experienced at funerals.
Okay.
It comes from Reddit. It's a list that was compiled on Ranker. Altrek15 said, my friend's ex-girlfriend made her own prayer cards of a picture of him and her instead of the ones that his mom made of just him. She threw them out and made one with him and her and then passed them around. She also stood in front of the coffin and took selfies with the body.
Oh, my. That's, everyone grieves in different ways.
Right. And then she went over to his dad at the funeral and asked for his sperm.
What? Wait, his dad's sperm?
That's how I read it, yes. Asked his dad for his sperm.
That's some confusing language there, so yeah. I'm not sure.
Either way, it's weird.
If he had his son's sperm or if she wanted his dad's
sperm. Yeah. That's how I read it, but you're right. It could go either way.
It's a toughie. Oh, either way, totally weird.
Killing Crushes wrote, a guy at my dad's church died a few months ago, and the whole funeral was a mess. The guy was married. He had two kids under the age of 10 with his current wife, but he had two teenage daughters with his ex-wife. The ex-wife showed up at the funeral, kept harassing the wife and young kids, tried to, at one point, steal the body.
What? No.
She followed the funeral procession to the graveyard. And she was in such a hurry to get to the graveyard first, to be the first one there, that she passed the hearse and the long line of cars, and she flipped her car over.
Well, everyone grieves in different ways.
She was okay, but then she got pissed when nobody went to help her, and they just kept on going.
Well, they were kind of in the middle of something, yeah. Ma'am.
It was a whole mess.
Wow.
According to Killing Crushes.
It sounds a little bit like someone wants to make everything about her.
Another Redditor said that at his grandma's funeral, the guy that she was dating at the time hit up her mom for $100. While she was burying her mother.
Oh, man.
Kind of people even, come on, right? At least wait until after.
Yeah, no, you want to go to the reception sure. When everyone's had a few drinks.
And then you hit them up for cash.
Exactly.
J. Doug writes, my aunt and cousin were very busy dividing up my grandfather's possessions while he was being lowered into the ground. These are quotes. But Mom, who gets Grandpa's big screen TV? God damn it, Jeremy. He's not even in the ground yet. Shut the hell up.
Jesus.
People are evil.
It's true. And that's why it's very important to make sure that everything is laid out before you pass.
Yeah.
Like you may be young and healthy, and that's perfect and wonderful, and you may not have to worry about this for years. But if something were to happen, it's not you that's going to be worrying about it. It's your family.
That's
so
true.
It's very important to make sure that your family is clear about what you would like to have happen after you pass so that it saves everyone some trouble and graveyard squabbling.
Graveyard squabbling is never fun. I just read, just today, coincidentally, about Prince. When Prince passed away, he had no will. And 700 people.
How? How does Prince not, how is it that I have a will and Prince does not have a will?
I do not know.
Oh, had they not just made one for Squiggly? Mark?
Maybe it was just...
Is it because it was the name of Prince and not Squiggle Squiggle?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I really don't know. He had no will when he passed away.
Oh.
And 700 people came forward and said that they were long-lost relatives.
I'm sure.
Or had some sort of connection to his finances. Unreal.
Unreal, indeed. We had, as you know, when my father was getting older and things were not looking awesome for the future, we had a very, I wouldn't say heated discussion, but it did get serious.
Mm-hmm.
And Katrina got very raised eyebrows as she was discussing the fate of my guns. They belonged to my mother's grandfather, and he left them to my dad when he died.
Right.
And so when my dad was not well, and the discussion of where the guns should go then, obviously it was to me, right?
It's your family.
But my dad's current wife thought that they should go to her kids.
That ain't right.
And so we had this discussion, and it was like, no, it's already been decided. They're going to my kids, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense because they're not even related to the guy that they came from in the first place. This is our family stuff. It's kind of, I'm not worried about the rest of the stuff, but let's be reasonable. And she wouldn't agree to put that in the will. So before my dad died, he made a clandestine trip down to Bangor with the guns and just brought them to my apartment and was like, all right, I'll see you later.
And they're currently in our gun safe.
Yeah.
One is like an old pirate blunderbuss.
Yeah, it's I think French pirate gun, something like that.
And then you have two what look like ramrod type
Civil War
Civil War era muskets.
Yep.
which are pretty cool.
They're very cool. From my mom's side of the family.
Dragon Lord Supreme said when he was 12 years old, he went to the funeral of a teacher, and his 12-year-old friend was with him. When everybody was quiet, they were saying a prayer for him. His friend yelled out at the top of his lungs, "Penis!"
We used to play the penis game.
Yeah.
Not at funerals.
Yeah.
But.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. He was escorted out of the funeral.
Sure.
But I want somebody to yell penis at my funeral. Will you make sure that happens?
Well, you were, we weren't together yet, but we knew each other when my grandmother died. And I was at the funeral. And my ringtone at the time was "A Perfect Circle's Counting Bodies Like Sheep." And I was like, oh no. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Oh, well.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Howdy Ho said his uncle, who was really his paternal aunt's boyfriend, wasn't a very religious guy and asked for a humanist type service before cremation. Well, the humanist guy that showed up to perform the ceremony, he was 40 minutes late. He admitted that he had forgotten his notes. He got the deceased's name wrong multiple times.
Oh, no.
The family started to squabble. The whole thing was unsalvageable. Finally, the guy turns to the coffin and said, well, and then he laughed and said, at least he won't mind because he's dead. At this point, the brother of the deceased got tired of the whole thing and just yelled, push the fucking button and burn him, for Christ's sake.
Jesus. Oh, that's got to be the end of a day where you would enjoy a beverage.
Yeah, or two. Mm. Fwang wrote, while we stood in the cemetery where a dear loved relative was being laid to rest, my mother spotted the senile, obviously 95-year-old brother of the deceased and said, there's no point in him going home.
Oh, rude.
Whoa. Okay, that's funny, but in a props.
I mean, if it was like whispered under the breath, then fine.
Ooh, 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 yeah, writes, my grandma's funeral was a Polish funeral, so we got wasted during the wake. My two aunts never got along. And my bitchy aunt, who lived with grandma, was in one of her special moods that day. After heavy drinking and some arguing, my aunt yelled to my other aunt, now that grandma's dead, you can use that dildo I put in your birthday cake.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah, call me old-fashioned, but I think that talk about sex toys at a funeral, keep that outside of the viewing area.
Especially if that has something to do with the demise.
Truth. Brutton Gaster 123 said, my grandmother died this past May, and my cousins were pallbearers at the funeral. And we were all joking around and laughing about memories of grandma. As we were walking behind the hearse on the way to the burial site, it was silent. We got to the site, and the six of us unloaded the casket and began walking to the site with the casket when my cousin loudly says, dude, I have to take a runny dump.
What does that mean, even?
And that led to all six of the pallbearers to start laughing, and they almost dropped grandma.
No!
Yeah. Dude, I have to take a runny dump. Those are some really awkward moments, but, you know, I almost want to use my funeral as a performance art piece.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a few times.
And yeah, we've talked about how, you know, I want my body to be fired out of a cannon into an open grave. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, figuring the trajectories and, you know, I have people in my family that are very good at that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, you've got mathematicians.
Yeah, and engineers.
In your family that will join me in absolutely not doing that.
But I'm thinking of maybe having a set up like a fake mourner who just does something really outrageous just to get a good laugh my way out.
Like an Andy Kaufman style
thing. Yeah. Kind of blending reality with fiction.
So you want to, what's it called? Stalk the audience? Stack the audience? What's it called when you plant people in the audience?
Planting people in the audience.
Well, I think there's a different term for it. Whatever. So you want to plant someone in the audience just to mess with the people who love you and are mourning their
I don't know. Maybe I'll do something like I'll have some guy play the part of a funeral home dude and just have him come in and try to repossess the body for lack of payment. That'd be hilarious.
Right. Yeah.
Promise me you'll do that.
Nope.
You're not a very good wife. Actually, you're the best wife anybody could
have. Shush, don't be gross.
We should probably wrap this up because I have to I have to amend my will.
Yeah, we've got a lot of important documents to sign and actors to hire.
Right, exactly.
So, but please don't forget that you can find all of the details about our merch, including our new Order of the Freaks design on our website. That's also where you can get details about the social media, and you can find about how to support the Box of Oddities via our premium content.
There's also a section on live shows, but it's really boring to read right now because we don't have any.
It's just a cricket.
But hopefully soon we'll be filling that back out again. We were talking about this the other day when we might get back out on the road, and in all reality, it's probably not going to be until late spring next year, maybe summer. I don't know. It's really hard to say.
It is hard to say. Stop saying things when it's hard to say.
We've also had a couple of emails, people wanting to know if the Freak Cruise is still on. Yes, but not right away.
That's going to be a ways.
That's going to be a ways as well. But we do plan on doing it, and we'll let you know, of course. Looking forward to seeing you next time.
Until then, keep flying that freak flag.
Fly it proudly, you beautiful freak.
And so, let it be known that the Box of Oddities belongs to you, and its fate is in your hands. Therefore, it's been requested by those to whom I report to beseech you for assistance. We ask but one thing of you, to provide a 5-star rating and a positive review. True, that is two things. However, 'tis merely a 5-star rating and a positive review. Also, subscribe to us. Okay, so three things is all we ask. Three things and three things only. Henceforth, the Box of Oddities commits to the telling of stories. Stories of the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
Hello everyone, it's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.